Okay, so by now you guys have probably figured out that I kind of like the Psalms, because every time lately I've been up here doing this, I read a Psalm. It's no different today. I usually choose a short one that fits into this time slot, and today I chose the very longest one in the whole Bible, Psalm 119. And I think I love the Psalms because in the Jewish faith, they were the songbook of their faith in their temple worship and in their synagogues. And I love music, and I love to sing, and I love the way we sing. And I am drawn to the book of Psalms, and would love to go to, I don't know, I asked Jeremy this morning, do they still sing the Psalms in Jewish synagogues? Does anybody know for sure? And we figured they probably sing the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120 to 134. Those are the ones they would always sing during the Jewish festivals when they would walk up to the temple. But I would like to go to a Jewish synagogue someday and listen to see if they still sing the Psalms. That would be interesting. And if we go to in my Bible, there's an introduction to every book of the Bible. So if I go to the Psalms, that introduction, if I can get there. It says, the Psalms were set to the accompaniment of stringed instruments and served as the temple hymn book and devotional guide for the Jewish people. It would have been a kind of a shorter hymn book. It would only have 150 songs in it. But there, can you imagine if we came to church, if our song book was the Psalms, and I had announced Psalm 119? Might not be a sermon today. Might spend all our time. There's 176 verses in Psalm 119. So Psalm 119 has been called the golden alphabet of the Bible. And that's a kind of a weird name for it. But there's a reason for that. The Psalm has 176 verses. It is divided up into 22 sections with 8 verses in each section. And what you need to know is there are also 22 characters or letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So each section has 8 verses, and each verse in a section begins with a corresponding Hebrew letter. Are you getting that? So in all 8 of the first 8 verses of Psalm 119, which is section 1, begin with the letter Aleph, the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. The next 8 verses, section 2, begin with Beth, the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, in my Bible, when I read Psalm 119, it has that character written at the top of each one of these sections, and it also has it written out so that we know what that character is. Does your Bible have that? Anybody? Yeah, very interesting. Does it have the character too, or just, yeah, good stuff. Because if you just had the character, like that's a foreign alphabet. How would we figure it out? But it's also written. So each verse of those 8 verses start with that letter. Now, if we could read the Psalm in Hebrew, it would make more sense to us. But it would read differently. But because they've translated it into English, we don't get that same effect where each section, each verse starts with that letter. So it would be neat if we could read it and understand it in Hebrew. Bible scholars believe that the reason for doing that was to teach the Jewish people and us that all of the possibilities of human language are exhausted in explaining the fullness and perfection of the Word of God. Every language on earth will run out of words before we can fully tell of the perfection of God and His Word, the Holy Bible. If you turn over about 3 pages to verse 160 of this psalm, there it says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." That's just a small example of what Psalm 119 is trying to say. Jesus himself said the same kind of thing, and he referenced that in Revelation 1:8 when he said, "I am the Alpha and Omega." Those were the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, which the New Testament was written in. Human languages aren't big enough to explain and extol the greatness of God and his written word. Take out your hymnal and turn to hymn number 538. When I was preparing this, all of a sudden I thought of that hymn. And if you go to hymn number 538 and go down to verse 3, this is what it says. And the song is called "The Love of God," and this is what it says. It says, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade," and then there's a semicolon. "If that were the case," it's saying, "then to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." That's saying the same thing as Psalm 119 is saying about God's word. And but the song is talking about just one aspect, one of the attributes of God, and that is his love. And that's what Psalm 119 is telling us. So let's read the first 8 verses of Psalm 119, where it says, "Aleph, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They will also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently." What this first little section is saying is telling us how wonderful it is to be obedient to God and his word. Even if we fail and sin, there is provision in the word for confession and restoration, and that's what keeps us in an undefiled condition. Verse 5, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes." Now the writer moves from speaking for everyone to speaking personally, what he personally needs and wants. Let's continue. "Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." The writer says he wants desperately to look into and study God's word, to learn all he can. He wants to bring honor and praise to the Lord, and he wants to keep all of God's statutes, being obedient to the whole word of God. Go down to verse 11 of the same psalm. "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And that's what he said in that section. The last part of verse 8 says, "Oh, do not forsake me utterly." When we have confessed our sins, repented, and received forgiveness of our sins by the blood of Jesus, and have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, God will not and cannot forsake us. Our salvation costs too much to forsake us once we have been saved by his blood. The writer does not say that as though it's a possibility, but because that is what he deserves. And that's what all of us deserve. But God, in his awesome mercy and grace, saves us from wrath and keeps us in his care for all eternity. God and his word are awesome and wonderful. They are, in a word, perfection. And that's what Psalm 119 is all about. Psalm 119, 9 and 10. "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And finally, Romans 11, verse 33. Romans 11, verse 33, where it says, and this one just gets me every time, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out."